Chapter 12. They rolled Judge Attlee down the center aisle in his fine oak casket and parked him at the altar in front of the pulpit where Reverend Palmer was waiting in a black robe. The casket was left unopened, much to the disappointment of the mourners, most of whom still clung to the ancient Southern ritual of viewing the deceased one last time in a strange effort to maximize the grief. "Hell no," Ray had said politely to Mr. McGargle when asked about opening things up. When the pieces were in place, Palmer slowly stretched out his arms, then lowered them, and the crowd sat. In the front pew to his right was the family, the two sons. Ray wore his new suit and looked tired. Forrest wore jeans and a black suede jacket and looked remarkably sober. Behind them were Harry Rex and the other pallbearers, and behind them was a sad collection of ancient judges, not far from the casket themselves. In the front pew to his left were all sorts of dignitaries, politicians, an ex-governor, a couple of Mississippi Supreme Court justices. Clanton had never seen such power assembled at one time. The sanctuary was packed, with folks standing along the walls under the stained glass windows. The balcony above was full. One floor below, the auditorium had been wired for audio, and more friends and admirers were down there. Ray was impressed by the crowd. Forrest was already looking at his watch. He had arrived 15 minutes earlier and got cursed by Harry Rex, not Ray. His new suit was dirty, he had said, and besides, Ellie had bought him the black suede jacket years ago, and she thought it would do just fine for the occasion. She, at 300 pounds, would not leave the house, and for that Ray and Harry Rex were grateful. Somehow she'd kept him sober, but a crash was in the air. For 1,000 reasons, Ray just wanted to get back to Virginia. The Reverend prayed a short, eloquent message of thanks for the life of a great man. Then he introduced a youth choir that had won national honors at a music competition in New York. Judge Attlee had given them $3,000 for the trip, according to Palmer. They sang 2 songs Ray had never heard before, but they sang them beautifully. The first eulogy, and there would be only 2 short ones per Ray's instructions, was delivered by an old man who barely made it to the pulpit, but once there startled the crowd with a rich and powerful voice. He had been in law school with the judge 100 years ago. He told 2 humorless stories, and the potent voice began to fade. The Reverend read some scripture and delivered words of comfort for the loss of a loved one, even an old one who had lived a full life. The second eulogy was given by a young black man named Nikita Poole, something of a legend in Clanton. Poole came from a rough family south of town, and had it not been for a chemistry teacher at the high school, he would have dropped out in the 9th grade and become another statistic. The judge met him during an ugly family matter in court, and he took an interest in the kid. Poole had an amazing capacity for science and math. He finished first in his class, applied to the best colleges, and was accepted everywhere. The judge wrote powerful letters of recommendation and pulled every string he could grab. Nikita picked Yale, and its financial package covered everything but spending money. For 4 years, Judge Attlee wrote him every week, and in each letter, there was a check for $25.
"I wasn't the only one getting the letters or the checks," he said to a silent crowd. "There were many of us."
Nikita was now a doctor and headed for Africa for 2 years of volunteer work.
"I'm going to miss those letters," he said,
and every lady in the church was in tears. The coroner, Thurber Foreman, was next. He had been a fixture at funerals in Ford County for many years, and the judge specifically wanted him to play his mandolin and sing "Just a Closer Walk with Thee." He sang it beautifully, and somehow managed to do so while weeping. Forrest finally began wiping his eyes. Ray just stared at the casket, wondering where the cash came from. What had the old man done? What exactly did he think would happen to the money after he died? When the Reverend finished a very brief message, the pallbearers rolled Judge Attlee out of the sanctuary. Mr. McGargle escorted Ray and Forrest down the aisle and down the front steps to a limo waiting behind the hearse. The crowd spilled out and went to their cars for the ride to the cemetery. Like most small towns, Clanton loved a funeral procession. All traffic stopped. Those not driving in the procession were on the sidewalks, standing sadly and gazing at the hearse and the endless parade of cars behind it. Every part-time deputy was in uniform and blocking something, a street, an alley, parking spaces. The hearse led them around the courthouse, where the flag was at half-mast, and the county employees lined the front sidewalk and lowered their heads. The merchants around the square came out to bid farewell to Judge Attlee. He was laid to rest in the Attlee plot, next to his long-forgotten wife and among the ancestors he so revered. He would be the last Attlee returned to the dust of Ford County, though no one knew it. And certainly no one cared. Ray would be cremated and his ashes scattered over the Blue Ridge Mountains. Forrest admitted he was closer to death than his older brother, but he had not nailed down his final details. The only thing for certain was that he would not be buried in Clanton. Ray was lobbying for cremation. Ellie liked the idea of a mausoleum. Forrest preferred not to dwell on the subject.